what an honour it is to be here. I love it here. Pastor Dan, he did mention we've been in a series about Stephen Furtick's book, Do the New You. And how good a preacher is he? Like you saw him on the line as well. He preached on I'm not stuck unless I stop. And also last week, in Christ I am enough. I listened to that message myself. That was great. Great message, great preacher, anointed. So today, this mindset is, with God, there's always a way, and by faith, I will find it. Oh, boom! So good, so good. In Isaiah 43:19, you know, God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do you know what? When you feel like there's no way, God will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's just close your eyes. I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your word that is powerful, that is life, that goes forward. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. I thank you, Lord, that even now you're moving in hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you know what is going on. And Lord, you are a shifter and a changer and a mover. Lord, I pray that you would shift and unlock today. Shift and unlock. And Father, as we hear your word, reveal to us what we need to know. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, who's been to an escape room? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love escape rooms. Love them, love them, love them. I love escape rooms. And if you've never been to one, what happens? You get locked in a room. And, yeah, I know, you think, why would you, pay to do this? But anyway, you get locked in a room with your team, and then you find a clue, which leads you to a clue, which leads you to a clue, which eventually leads you to get out. I've actually got, we put up the first photo. This is the one of us beforehand. There you go. There's your pastor there. They're smiling, and I am too. I am too. We're all smiling. We just got locked in a room. But do you see that guy at the back? That's Josh Stott. He's an exec pastor. Josh, he's really doing the I'm in prison thing. That's great. Now, we're locked in a room. My sons and I, we love escape. So normally, with my two sons, actually, I've got a picture of us. These are my sons. So the one on the left here is Nathan, and then the one on the right is Ivan. So, we love escape rooms. You can take them down. My son's Nathan lives in Brisbane. And he manages a metal fabrication business. And Ivan is part of our worship team in the Sunshine Coast. So if you haven't met them yet, you may meet them when you come to Powerhouse Conference. You may meet him. But, yeah, anyway, back to my escape rooms. They're fun. But what happened one time, and it was that photo that you saw, that was before. We're like, yeah, we got this. In fact, we're like escape superstars now. Right. We're so good at this that what we want to do, we'll have the most difficult room that you've got. Yeah, that was not real smart. But anyway, so we go in and we're like, whoa, this is hard. This is difficult. It took us 10 minutes to get the first clue. It's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And you get so many times where you can get a clue. We actually had to get a clue to get the first clue. It's like, how bad is that? So you imagine how difficult. Well, that was just the first one. And then as we're going, I'm like, oh, there's no way out of this. I just think this is a joke, this one. There is no way out of this. It was getting frustrating. I'm thinking, I can't get out. We can't get out. And the three of us, we really do think differently, which is why we're great in a room. Because Ivan is just really out there. Nathan is like, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, I know. Yeah, anyway. But the three of us were like, oh, I don't know. Do you know what? We started to feel like there was no way out. But the truth is, the designers of that escape room, they have already provided a solution. There is an actual way to get out. All we had to do was find it. I mean, we eventually did get out. But we had to keep asking clue after clue after clue. And then we can you give us another 5 minutes, another 5 minutes? But do you know what? Life challenges can feel like that. At times, You know, we may feel that there's no way out. We might be frustrated about things. We might be overwhelmed about things. But God has already placed a key, a solution. He's already placed it in your situation. You just have to find it. We did, you know, you just have to find where that solution, like he already knows. And by faith and persistence, you keep asking him, come on, God, I'm asking you. And you continue to ask for God's wisdom. By faith, wisdom, and persistence, we can discover the way out. Because with God, there's always a way. And by faith, I will find it. So you can say that with me. With God, there's always a way. And by faith, I will find it. That is brilliant. You might be here today and you don't have a relationship with God. Don't worry about that. Like, I'm going to give you an opportunity a little bit later to do that. It is the best decision I ever made, and that was around about 20 years ago. I gave my heart to Jesus, and what a change. Believe me, I don't think you'd recognize me 20 years ago. I even looked different. Scary. I look scary. Yeah. I can still look scary if I wanted to. Yeah. But I'll give you that opportunity a little bit later on. Because with God, there's always a way, and by faith, I will find it. So that mindset, it talks about no matter how difficult or how impossible a situation seems, God always provides a way forward. Like, have you ever faced a situation where you felt out of options or didn't see? I'm pretty sure you have, because, I mean, I've had plenty. But today, we're going to shift from asking, is there a way, to declaring with God, there is always a way, and by faith I will find it. So we talked, like I mentioned the scripture earlier on, like, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And I really sense the newness in this room. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When God begins to move in your life, it doesn't necessarily happen the way you expect. You know, two of my favorite words in the Bible are suddenly, and the other one's immediately. You know it, because that's the way I like things to happen. But unfortunately, God things, they take time, but they do for a reason. God things take time. So we're going to look in Mark chapter 5, where there's a man called Jairus. Jairus is a synagogue leader, so he's got high stature. He's very, you know, he'd be renowned, prosperous. He's the synagogue leader. He hears about Jesus. He desperately approaches Jesus and he gets on his, he begs him, come with me to heal my 12-year-old daughter who's about to die. I don't know if you're a parent, but do you remember when your kid was 12? Can you imagine how desperate Jairus would have felt? My daughter's going to die. He hears about Jesus doing all these miracles earlier on in Mark. And he goes to him and he begs him, come with me. Come and heal my daughter. She's about to die. So with that, like Jesus, he's moved by faith, Jairus's faith. And he agrees to go with him. You know what? We might think that Jesus is moved by need. He's not. Jesus is moved by faith. When Jairus goes and he's in his faith, he's believing that if I can just get Jesus to my daughter, she's going to be healed. So he's moved by faith. And so he decides, yep, I'm going to go. But on the way, Jesus, you know, he's going through the crowds and he heals a woman who's had an issue with blood, who's been discharging blood for 12 years. Oh my goodness. So he heals her. It's miraculous. Jairus actually gets to see this firsthand now. She got healed. Now he's thinking, well, look, that's great. Let's hurry up. My daughter's dying. You know, do you get what I'm saying? Oh, that's all awesome, Jesus. But like, get away from this crowd and these people. Like, get to my daughter now. Now, the thing about it, though, we're going to look at Mark 5:35. So while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Now, there's a massive tip right there in that line. That is not the way to deliver bad news. Your daughter is dead. That is not cool. They need some pastoral coaching right there, don't they? Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? They're talking about Jesus. Why bother Jesus anymore? Wow. Your daughter is dead. Then we look at Mark 5:36. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Do you know sometimes it can feel like the walls are pushing in on us? And we can get fearful, we can get afraid. We can think, I don't know what's going to happen to me anymore. But yet, when you hear the word of God, it can change things. So Jairus has just heard his daughter's dead. Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. So when Jesus gets to the house, he finds people crying and wailing loudly over the girl's death. Now, Jewish mourning customs, not in the morning, like mourning customs, like it was common for them to hire professional mourners. So, because I always wondered, like in the next line, you'll see why, you know, like, so they're not really emotionally attached. That's their job. How would you like a job like that? Yeah, I want to be a professional mourner. I'm going to be good at that. Yeah. So they're there mourning. And then Jesus tells them, stop it. Stop crying. The little girl is not dead, but sleeping. Wow. They laugh at him. See, I could never really understand that, but I get it now because they're professional mourners. They're not emotionally attached to Jairus' daughter. So anyway, the people, they laugh at Jesus. They're thinking he's crazy. So Jesus tells them, like, get out. Out, out, out. He clears the room, like, get out. He clears the room. And what happens? In the room, he just leaves the little girl's father and mother and the three disciples that went along with him. And then we look at Mark 5:41, and he says, he took her by the hand and said to her, Talita kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, there's my favorite word, immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. We haven't forgotten that, but we're going to find that. That's what it says in the Bible. She was 12. She got up. A word from God. Talita kum. Little girl, get up. And immediately, she is healed. Can you imagine the electricity in the room? Like, she was dead. And now she lives. Oh, my gosh. You might be here today, and you might have had a dream that's died. You might have had something that you were really believing for and it feels dead. But maybe what you need is to speak to it with the word of God. Because that can bring, so good. When you feel there's no way. That leads me to my very first point here. When you feel that there's no way out, number one is to shift your focus from problems to possibilities. Problems to possibilities. Clear the room. Clear the room of negativity, unbelief, and doubt. I mean, Jesus did that. He told the people, stop crying, get out. He cleared the room. When they were laughing at him, they cleared the room like, I don't need that in here while I'm going to heal her. I don't need negative unbelief, negative doubting people around me. And sometimes that's what we're believing for a miracle. That's what we need to do sometimes. We need to clear the room. And do you know what? It can be sometimes people around us. And say you're starting a business and someone comes along like, oh, okay, interesting. Well, it's not that they said don't, but they said everything, didn't they? They don't believe. Or they could be blatant and go, are you joking? That's never going to work. They could do that too. We've got to clear the room. And so we do. There's times where we need to clear the room and it's other people. But I've got to tell you, where I'm concerned, the majority of the time, I need to clear this room. It's me. It's me. I need to clear the thoughts that are in my head. Oh, my gosh, what if I fail? Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Oh, my gosh, I need to clear this room. We need to clear our minds of negativity. We need to clear our minds of doubt. We need to clear our minds of unbelief. That's what we need to do. We need to do that. You know what? Because have you ever heard this? I mean, I've said these things, you know. What if I do this and it doesn't work? What if it does? Why don't we ever say the opposite? We naturally tend to go towards negative side of things. You know, what if I start this business and it fails? What if I start it and it succeeds? Do we ever say that? No, I find that I'm more, yeah. What if I start something new and I don't like it? What if I do? So this is what I mean. We've got to clear the room. So we've got to shift our focus from problems to possibilities. That's number one. The second thing that we need to do, because there is always a way, is to take a step of faith. You might have heard the story about Peter, who was a disciple, and they're in a boat, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes walking along the water. I don't know how he did it, but he was pretty cool, I'd say. Jesus, like, he's like, yeah. And then Peter sees them and says, what? You're walking on water. If that's really you, Jesus, tell me to come. Tell me to come. Tell me to come. So Jesus says, come. So on the word of God, Peter gets out of the boat. He starts walking on the water. I'd say that looks like a tightrope, I know. But anyway, I don't know how he would have walked, but I don't think it would have been normal. He'd never seen anyone except for Jesus right then walk on the water. So it would have been something foreign. So he's walking on the water. And while he keeps his focus on Jesus, he's walking. He is. But the moment he's focused on the storm, he began to sink. You see, faith doesn't mean the storm disappears. It means that you trust God to lead you through it. To have faith, it doesn't mean that the things around you have actually even changed. When you've got faith on the inside, you've just got to believe that God is going to lead you through it. So you've got to take that step of faith. Like, don't give up on hope. Do you know hope is the foundation of faith? And it's the belief that God is present and working, even when circumstances seem difficult or even uncertain. Hoping on God looks like waiting on God. The Bible talks about those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Hoping on God is building your strength. You're getting stronger to be able to cope with whatever you're dealing with. He's developing you in this time. Waiting on God means doing everything that you can do and then surrendering to God everything you cannot do. So you do everything. If you've got sickness in your body, you do everything that you can do. You call upon God. You get prayer. You pray the prayer of faith. You take medication. You go to the doctor. You get the surgery. You do everything that you can do, and then you surrender control to God because he is the healer. God, I'm trusting in you. I trust you, God. So you do that. If you have a dream on the inside of your heart, you do everything you can. You call upon God. God, you put this dream in my heart. Then you get to work. You do your networking. You build your network. You sharpen your skills. You do your research. You watch that YouTube video. You read a book, whatever it is. You do whatever you can do. Then you surrender everything that you cannot to God. You surrender your timeline. You surrender your plan to him. You take a step of faith. You know, years ago, I had a dream in the night, like while I was asleep, an actual dream, that I had massive chains around my neck. They were huge, massive, around my neck. And I knew that it was debt, the debt that I had. I knew it because it actually had the word debt across it. Do you know what? I've found that God sometimes does have to spell things out to me. You know? But yeah, the interpretation of that dream was quite simple. But I needed it. I needed it. I was a prisoner to debt. I had so much debt at that time. But I got to tell you, I woke up and I felt faith in my heart that God had given me a dream where I had, like, I was going to break those chains. I was going to break those chains of debt off my life. And there was an expectation that one day I was going to be free from debt. Wow. And that God was going to help me. And at that time, I had thousands, honestly, I had thousands of dollars. I had mortgage, I had investment properties, I had a car loan, I had credit card debt, I had store, different store debt as well, a lot of debt. I was in debt. It was just, I know even just talking about it makes me like, anyway. But I had to do everything that I could do. So I stopped living beyond my means. Great start. I got a budget. Not only did I do a budget, I stuck to it for a change. Yay! You know, that's always good. You know, that's always good. Yeah, if you, I had budgets before, but they never did anything for me. Right? But I read Pastor Phil Pringle's book, Faith. To build my faith, like I'm going to get out of debt. I researched how to get out of debt. I got wise counsel on how to do it as well. Do you know what? Sometimes we can feel so ashamed, and I felt ashamed. There was shame on me from the debt. I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. But the smartest thing that God led me towards was to get wise counsel. Do you know what? There's always someone who's been through something you're going through. There's always someone that can help you with that. So I sought wise counsel. Anyway, I did everything that I could do. And then I prayed and I declared the word of God. One of my main scriptures was in Romans 13:8, where it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. That was my main scripture. So whenever I was going to buy something that I shouldn't, owe no one anything except to love one another. Or that thing, oh, that looks so good. Oh, no, owe no one anything. That's how I would use the word of God. It would stop me from going back to my ways, because it becomes a mindset. I had to change my mindset, and I had to change my mindset because I knew that God, well, I kind of knew it in my head, but I didn't know it in my heart, that God wanted to prosper me. He didn't want me to be in debt. So I had to change my mindset. So I did that by declaring the word of God. You know, it says, beloved, I pray that you would prosper in all things and in health, even as your soul prospers. So like, I know you want to prosper me. I know the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no sorrow to it. Delight in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust also in him, and it will come to pass. And you know what? I started to declare and change my mind that I didn't have to be in debt because God has called me to prosper. Yes. So when I would start doing that, I felt not only my mind shift, but I felt a shift in the spirit. So good. And do you know what? I cleared all my personal debt. Yay! I did it. And those changed. I literally felt a physical thing where they just fell off me. There was just such freedom. Freedom. And you know what? It didn't happen overnight, though. It took years. I'd said, God, things take time. Didn't take me too long to get myself in that mess. But sometimes we're just going to say, hey, we put ourselves here. Yep, I'm going to do what I can do. And then I'm going to let God work and on the faith side. And I'm going to believe. I'm going to pray. So that's take a step of faith. So we've got, don't focus on, like, let change your focus from problems to possibilities. Then we're going to take a step of faith. And then the third thing is your confession must be louder than your circumstances. And that's where the word, you know, faith is not silent. It's got a sound. I heard that sound in here today. It's a sound of faith. It's got a sound. And when faith speaks, things shift. When faith speaks, things shift. I just see that in the story of Jairus. You know, it was a walk of faith. It walked. Faith walked. Faith talked. Faith overcomes fear. Jairus had that faith, but then that bad news came. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher? The circumstances are, it is over. She is dead. No coming back from that, unless you got Jesus. But Jesus spoke, don't be afraid. Just believe. Your confession, what comes out of your mouth, has got to be louder than your circumstances. So instead of agreeing with what looks impossible, agree with God. Yes. Agree with him. Really good. We've got to agree with him. So in the natural, Jairus, he saw death, but Jesus spoke life, because that's what he does. In Romans, there's a scripture that says, God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We've got to call things that we can't see in the natural into being. We call those things. We call our finances in. We call debt cancelled in the name of Jesus. We call our bodies healed in the name of Jesus. It might not actually be happening right now, but we call it. We believe with faith that God has already done it. Faith sees the unseen and speaks it into existence. That's what it does. You know, when church gathers, you know, not only is it a great atmosphere, I mean, it is a great atmosphere. I love it here. It's a great atmosphere, but it's the very presence of God where miracles can happen. We're here in a place where miracles can happen. And so a little bit, like very soon, we're going to open the altar, this area down here again, to believe that God can do a miracle in your situation. You know, whether it's in your family, whether it's with your kids, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in other relationships, friendships, whether it's your finances, whether it's your walk with God, whatever it is, we're going to pray and believe with you a little bit later. So, you know, with God, there's always a way. And by faith, I will find it. So shift your focus from problems to possibilities. Take a step of faith, and your confession must be louder than your circumstances. I'm excited to pray it because I just see, and I really believe that's why God showed me the mountains melting at the beginning, because they are going to melt. The things that, the circumstances that are going on, I just really feel, we're going to pray about that very soon. But now what we're going to do, I'd love you to stand to your feet. We are going to open the altar, so I'd love to invite out our ministry team. So there's three things that I specifically feel to pray for. The first one is you might feel like there's no way. You might feel that there's that mountain and you need clarity on, God, where do I go from here? So I want to pray for that. We want to pray for that. And the next one is you might need courage just to take that step of faith. You know what? Sometimes you need some courage to take a step of faith. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is we just want to believe with you, whether it's healing in your body. This is the moment where you've done all you can do. You can come up now. So with healing, whether it's houses, whether you're believing for a dream, whether it's a business, whatever it is, I encourage you, come out and we'll stand in faith with you. God bless you. You can come out now and I'll hand it over to the band. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you love us. I thank you, Lord, that you want the best for us. I thank you, Lord, that you've instilled hope and faith on the inside of us. Lord, not just to help us here today, but even when we go home, Lord, let it bubble up. Let those seeds of ministry have been sown. Let those seeds of faith been sown, Lord. Oh, Lord, you would grow them. Oh, and then we would grow them. We'd plant them. We'd water them. But Lord, it's you that brings the increase. We thank you, Lord, when we trust in you, with all of our heart. We lean not on our own understanding, but we acknowledge you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us and direct us. Yes. We thank you, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. We thank you, Lord, that you walk beside us. We thank you, Lord, that you're in our issues and in our situations, in our circumstances, but Lord, you are the way out. We thank you, Lord, that with God, there's always a way. And by faith, we will find it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.